Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This week, as we put a pause on our Made for More series, Pastor Josh explains how we can respond with confidence in a crisis. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Rock Church, everybody good? Good? You guys, I'm proud of you all. Like, I was wondering, who's going to show up at the 12 o'clock today? And look around, look at y'all, okay? Now, I'm not going to have you get up and greet or anything like that. We're going to respect you that way, but really glad that you are with us. And I know all morning long we've had people here. We've also had a bunch of people watching online and joining us that way. So if you happen to be online right now, man, I'm glad you're with us as well. Would y'all do me a favor and just give it up for anybody watching online? So glad you're a part of it. And as Clay said, man, it's been a crazy week, okay? Like it's a week that will forever define you, all right? I mean, it's one of those kinds of weeks that it's a week that's just going to define our society for a while. One way it's going to define us is I can guarantee you in about 9 months, there's going to be a lot of babies born, okay? That's just going to be true, all right? So there's that side of it, but reality is, you're going to remember your life based off of this last week. Here's what I mean by that. For all of you who are 30 and over, raise your hand for a second. All of you 30 or over, remember where you were on 9/11. Keep your hand up. Right? We all remember. All right, 9/11 defined those of us who are over 30. And for those of you who are under 30, this is a week that will define the rest of your life, all right? Now, I'm not trying to compare it to 9/11 in the sense 9/11 obviously was a terrorist attack, and we had a lot of first responders and people who died that way. But it is a thing that is happening in America that forever, for the rest of your life, you'll be able to go, hey, do you remember where you were during COVID of 19 or Corona or whatever we end up calling it forever? But you'll say, I remember that week. And I remember it now. That for me, it started, I was in the Dominican, all right? It actually started about 2 weeks ago. I had a good friend who's a pastor down in Florida, and he said, Josh, are you going to do anything about this coronavirus? And I was like, what coronavirus are you talking about? All right, that's how bad I am, all right, when it comes to things. But it was 2 weeks ago. It was something that we weren't really talking about much at that point. And he goes, dude, I think it's going to change your church. Like I'm already having to think about canceling some stuff. I was like, dude, you're crazy, right? And then this week, I was overseas. I was at the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. And we were in an area that was poverty-stricken, so there wasn't a lot of TVs, there wasn't a lot of newscasts. Everybody there, locals there, were just going on as life is normal, right? They were just doing it. Yeah, I had my phone, and on my phone, I kept getting notifications from things that I follow, and it started with things like, well, the NCAA, they decided to only to not allow fans at their games during the tournaments. We're like, wow, that's weird, but okay. And then all of a sudden, the NBA says, we're actually postponing our season for a while. And then the NCAA comes back and says, we're canceling all of the basketball tournaments. And like immediately, like, whoa, that's crazy, right? You know what I mean? And then they one-up that, and they say, we're canceling the College World Series. And I was like, the World Series isn't until June. You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, I'm going, what are they thinking? Because, again, remember, I'm removed from America at this point. But I'm just getting updates. And then our coastal kids are getting an update that classes, or at least spring break, has been an additional week. So they're all like, party. You know what I mean? Like they're happy, right? But we start to realize how bad it's getting. Another way to say it is we're starting to realize how crazy it's getting in America. And then I recognize that because once I left there, I left on Friday, I get into the airport and everybody has a mask on. Like everybody, except me. So I started noticing that. I start walking around like this. I pull out my sweatshirt. I'm like, I ain't touching anything. I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? And then the worst thing happens in an airport. Worst thing. one person coughs. And as soon as one person coughs, everybody's like, You know what I mean? It's like, we're getting away from that junk. Like, it was bad, right? And then I finally get home. And when I get home late Friday night, and I go, and I've heard the rumors. So I went, and I opened up my cupboard, and I looked. How much toilet paper do we have? One roll. Oh, yeah, y'all are like, oh. So the next morning, I was talking to my wife. I was like, baby, you know we only got one roll of toilet paper? And she goes, yeah, and I've heard that it's hard to find. I'm like, baby, I've been out of the country. What you been doing? You know what I mean? Sure enough, we went out to the grocery store yesterday. Nope. Walmart, nope. Target, nope. You know what I mean? Finally found some at a CVS. You know what I mean? And Chris is like, let's buy it all. I'm like, relax, relax. It'll be okay. It'll be all right, you know? Like, we're going crazy. The world's going crazy over all this. Like, I actually thought maybe today the best thing we could do is for first-time guests, rather than giving you a T-shirt, give you a roll of toilet paper. You know what I mean? So if you're new with us, you know what I mean? Or if you're even like, I ain't got no toilet paper, but I'll pretend like I'm new. You stop by the Connect Corner. We got you covered today, all right? You know what I mean? But it's like, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. And I know we're making fun right now, and we need to. We need to laugh a little bit. You know what I mean? At times like this, it's good just to laugh. It's good to get that out. But I do know it is serious. Like, it is a crisis. There are people with health issues, and they need to be careful. I know for me and for Krista, our parents are both aging. Her dad has respiratory issues. So, you know, we're like, stay home, relax. Like, don't go out, you know. And so it's real there. But it's also real on a couple other levels. My heart went out this week to college kids, especially to those who had something they were working towards. For instance, those basketball players, men and women, like especially those seniors, like that was it. It's like you play that whole year so you can play that conference championships and so you can get into the tournament and you can play baseball guys so that they can work towards a World Series. Like their dreams in one moment crushed. And this is reality in my house. I've got a daughter who's a senior in college, and she goes to a theater school. So when she went to this theater school, you know, her freshman year, it's regimented from first day there through her senior year. Everything leads up to two things. Two things. Her entire college career leads up to two things. One is a showcase on Broadway where she gets to go to Broadway and showcase her talents. And then secondly, because she's a directing major, she gets to direct a play her senior year. Well, the Broadway showcase was last week. And while she's on Broadway, Broadway gets shut down. Her play that she's supposed to direct is in 2 weeks, and she's currently meeting with her faculty member because as of now it's postponed. They don't know if they're going to be able to do it. So her whole college career, all right, is worked up towards those two events. So I get it, man. When things like this happen, when crisis hits, it's like your dreams can be crushed. And if we're not careful when that crisis hits, what we'll do is we will react with chaos that is built out of fear rather than respond with confidence that is built out of a relationship with God, okay? And that's what I want us to talk about today. It's like the whole message is going to revolve around this idea is when crisis hits. And I say when. When, not if. When. Right now. It's a crisis with this coronavirus, all right? You might not feel like it is. You might be like, I'm healthy, I'm good, I'll be all right. And that's okay, good, feel that way. That's a good thing, all right? But if it's not this, it's going to be something else at some point. It might be a health scare. It might be a financial crisis. It might be a job crisis. Crisis will come. That's a guarantee in this life. So when crisis hits, do you react in chaos or do you respond with confidence? That's what I want us to kind of, the question I want to ask today, but the answer I want to give is a way that you can respond with confidence. That I don't want any of us reacting in chaos. I don't want any of us like running in fear. What I want is all of us to learn a process today, a step-by-step process of when crisis comes into your life, this is how you walk it out. So it's not just about the coronavirus right now. This is a process that you can walk out in your life on when the crisis hits. Here's how I'm going to respond with confidence, all right? And I'm going to do it by just looking at about five verses in the book of Ephesians. Now, the cool thing is that I was planning on preaching on Ephesians chapter 3 today. And I'm still going to preach on Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just not doing it inside the context of our Made for More initiative. All right, we're pausing that for a second, but I still want to come from Ephesians chapter 3 because from verses 12 through 19, we can learn a process that allows us to handle crisis with confidence. And it starts by simply putting your confidence in Christ. Look at this. Because of Christ and our faith in him. In other words, what Jesus has done and what I believe about him, because of my faith, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. That when I'm wanting to come into Christ, when I'm wanting to talk to God, I can come with confidence. So when a crisis hits, the first thing I should do is go to God, not run away from him. And that's what verse 14 says. Verse 14 says it this way. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. So the first thing I want to just say, the first step of the process is pray to the creator. That if you want confidence in the midst of crisis, then pray to the creator. Go to the one who has created everything in heaven and on earth. Now first, make sure you understand this. On earth doesn't mean the virus. God didn't create the virus. The virus is part of a fallen world that we live in, all right? God doesn't create bad things. It's not who he is. Now, he'll use bad things. He'll use a bad situation in your life for your good or for his glory. Romans 8 tells us that he'll use it for your good, that he'll take that bad thing and he'll help you work through it for your good or for his glory, all right? But he doesn't create bad things. But what the verse is getting at is he's created it all. And by it all, I mean the universe. I mean our world. That if God is the creator God who created the earth, who created the universe, if he's the one who sustains it, if he's the one who controls it, then what it means is in the midst of a crisis, he's still in control. He's still sustaining. He is still taking care of what is going on right here. But unfortunately, what we do oftentimes in the midst of crisis is we run towards fear and towards the worst case scenarios. That's what we do. We run towards fear. We run towards worst case scenarios. We see that in the Bible. We see where people have done that. The Israelites. If you go back to the beginning of the Bible in Exodus chapter 14, there's a story about the Israelites were leaving Egypt. They were fleeing for their lives. They'd been released from slavery through the power of God. And they were following Moses. But as they left Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, they saw this big, you know, body of water. And they're like, well, we're stuck. What are we going to do? So then they turn and they look behind them. And now all of a sudden, the Egyptians are pursuing them. They're like, hey, we messed up. We shouldn't have let them go. Let's go get them. So immediately the Israelites freak out. Now, they shouldn't have been afraid. They should have just been like, well, God took care of them earlier. He'll take care of them again. God, you're going to take care of this. What should we do? All right? But that's not what they did. A crisis hit. And when the crisis hit, their first response was fear. And I think oftentimes that's exactly what we do, that we respond in fear when a crisis hits. And fear keeps us from where faith can take us. See, the Israelites' faith could have taken them across the Red Sea. But because of fear, they were just running around. They were all messed up. They're like, well, we don't know what we're going to do. And then that fear didn't just keep them from where faith could take them. That fear led them down a path of a worst-case scenario. They're like, well, we're out here. We're stuck. We're going to just die in the desert. And they look at Moses and they said, Moses, it would have been better for us to be slaves in Egypt than to die out here. Worst-case scenario. And I think that's what we do. I mean, partially it's what we've done with this virus. Again, we went and we bought every roll of toilet paper there is. There's not a square to spare if you're a Seinfeld friend. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, why? I don't know if we realize this. It's a virus that affects your chest. It doesn't affect your bowels, okay? Like, I don't get it, but we make worst case scenario. Like, I don't know. So buy all the toilet paper, buy the green beans, buy the rice. Go fill up your car with gas and fill up every gas can you got. I was driving by a Speedway gas station yesterday, a guy out there filling up all his gas cans. I'm like, dude, I don't think gas is what you need right now. I could go a long direction with that. I'm not. Anyway, you see what I'm getting at? Worst case scenario. The boss says, hey, can I see you in my office? Worst case scenario, we immediately go to in our mind. Your kid's late for curfew. Worst case scenario goes into our mind. Doctor says, hey, I need to talk to you about your report. Worst case scenario comes to mind. Like we let fear take us to a worst case scenario. And when it comes to a crisis, don't react with chaos and fear. Respond with confidence because God is still Creator God who is over everything and will take care of you. That's where you got to start. That's where I've got to start. I've got to pray to the Creator. And then I've got to pray for inner strength. I got to pray for inner strength. And what I love about the inner strength is it says it this way. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. That he will give you the inner strength that we need to make it through whatever crisis we're in. And that inner strength comes from recognizing that the spirit is in you and he'll empower you with all of his resources. I was flying home from the Dominican on Friday, and while I was flying, I was able to catch part of the president's address to the nation over this issue. And I caught the very end of it, and the part that I caught was where he started introducing all these CEOs of these companies. And I loved what I was hearing because it was all these CEOs of like Walmart and Target and Walgreens and places like that, some pharmaceutical companies, stuff like that he's introducing them. And then every guy was coming up to the podium. They were speaking in their microphone. They were saying, we are taking all of our resources and combining it with all these other people, and we're going to use them to take care of America right now. We're going to use them to protect people, which I loved. I loved the fact that they were all saying we're going to ban together, right? It's what we do as a church. As a church that God has given us all resources, as a church, we come together and we pull together so that we can do great things for others. That's that whole Made for More initiative is about using the resources God has given you for the benefit of others. And what these CEOs are doing is they're saying, we're going to pull our resources and use them so that people can get tested, so people can have what they need and all that, all right? They're basically saying, we're going to use our resources. So again, I love it. I love the fact that they were doing that. But here's one problem. Walmart and Target didn't have toilet paper. Because their resources are not unlimited. But God, what does God say? His resources are unlimited. Unlimited. So because his resources are unlimited, you can have inner strength. Because you can say, wait, as I'm praying to the Creator, he's got this. And he's got not just this, but he's got the resources to help me make it through this. That might be a health crisis you're in, that he's got the resources. They're unlimited. It might be a financial issue. He's got the resources. They're unlimited. It might be a marriage issue. He's got the resources. They're unlimited. It might be a sin issue, an addiction issue. He's got the resources. They're unlimited. And he's wanting you to have the strength to use them. Now, we've got to do our part, okay? When it comes to health, you got to be healthy. You got to do what's right there. When it comes to your marriage, you got to do your part. When it comes to finances, you got to do your part. When it comes to maybe a sin habit, you got to do your part and say no and walk away from that. But we also need to rely on the unlimited resources of our God that is available to us through the Spirit. Pray for inner strength. Third step I would tell you to do is pray for roots. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You see, your roots are grounded in love. Let me keep going. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love for us. Now, guys, that's a power verse right there. That's a verse right now. You got your phone. You need to screenshot that. You need to highlight Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. You need to memorize this verse because it is a verse that can give you so much hope. Because your roots or your life should be rooted in God's love. Your inner strength is rooted in God's love. That he loves you so much that he cares for you, that he'll be there for you, and that he'll rescue you. See, the problem is when crisis hits, most of us, our natural response is fear or to ask God why. Like we'll say, God, if you loved me, then why did you allow blank to happen, right? Like maybe you've said that, maybe you've had a friend say that, like, God, if you really love me, then why would you allow blank to happen? And what we do is we don't root ourselves in God's love, that we think God is after us or God has put us in a position where we're going to get destroyed. No, God loves you and he wants to deliver you and he wants to rescue you and he wants you to see how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love actually is. See, the Israelites, they were up against that Red Sea. They're freaking out. You know what Moses said? Be still. The Lord your God will rescue you today, so just be calm. That's the scripture from Exodus 14. Be still. The Lord your God will rescue you today, so be calm. Don't react with chaos, but respond with confidence that he loves you. And sure enough, he showed up. He parted the Red Sea. He dried out the ground. The Israelites walked across. They were rescued. They were freed, all right? The same thing for us. 2,000 years ago, God came to this earth on the cross and went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, we have a visual illustration of how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for us. We see it on the cross, but it's not just on the cross. It's in an everyday life. That you can know that you matter to God. So pray that your roots will be founded, will grow deep into the love of God. And then pray for the fullness of life. The last verse. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The fullness of life, you will be made complete, mature. Another way I can say it is you will have confidence because you have the fullness of life through the power of God. And listen, God wants you to have a full life. John 10:10, Jesus said this, his words. He said, I have come so that you might have life and life to the full. And let's just admit it right now, that this virus has stripped some life away from us. College students, it's stripped some life away from our college students. For those of you, maybe your job has been affected. It stripped some life away from you, from some relationships that maybe you're having to avoid right now. Maybe there's some of you online watching who you're like, man, I got to stay away from people right now. That it's stripping some life from us. And that's not what God desires. What God desires, what Christ wants in your life is a rich, satisfying, full life. And you can have that. You can have that when your confidence is in God. Because see, when your confidence is in God, I want you to see how these four things lay out. Like I've said that you need to pray to the Creator. You need to pray for inner strength. You need to pray for roots. And you need to pray for the fullness of life. But see how it works out if you'll walk that four steps out. It's that I can pray to the Creator to have inner strength that is rooted in Christ's love so that I can have the fullness of life. See how those four work together? Well, let me show them to you again, all right? That you need to pray to the Creator. You need to pray for inner strength. You need to pray for roots, and you need to pray for the fullness of life. But here's what happens. When you start praying to the Creator, you can pray to the Creator to give you inner strength that is rooted in love that will give you the fullness of life. That's what I want for your life. It's what I want for my life. When we're going through crisis. Because again, crisis will come. It's gonna come. It might be in the form of the coronavirus for you. It might be in the form of something else. But crisis will hit. So when it does, don't react in chaos that is built out of fear, but respond. Respond with confidence that is built out of a relationship with God. Pray to Him so that you can have the confidence you need. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to spend some time responding right now, and we're going to do it a little different than we normally do. Normally we have communion up here on the front of the stage, and we invite people to come up front, take communion, do all that, and we didn't put communion out today just to, for the betterment of everybody. Just wanted to protect everybody that way. But we're still going to commune with God. We're still going to connect with Him in prayer. Because I've taught you a four-step process of how to respond with confidence in the midst of crisis. But I don't want it just to be head knowledge. I want us to do it right now. I want us to pray. So we're going to spend some time praying. And I know you might be here and maybe prayer is something that maybe you don't do, or maybe you say, well, I don't even know how to pray. Well, I'm going to teach you right now. And we're just going to walk through these four processes. And we're going to start by, talking about talking to Creator God. And when I say, all right, pray to your Creator, some of you love to pray. You're just going to start praying. Just pray. That's what I invite you to do. Just pray. Don't even listen to anything else I say. Just pray to Creator God for a while. Some of you, though, like I said, I know that maybe you don't have a habit of praying. You don't necessarily know how to do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk you through some things to pray. I'll just say some things, and you can just say that to God. Whatever I say, you can just say, I'm going to say this to God. No, I'm going to say this. Because I want you to learn how to do this so that when crisis hits, because, again, something else might happen, and you might find yourself in the middle of a crisis. It might be a crisis at work. It might be a crisis with your parents. It might be a crisis with your kids. But in the middle of that crisis, you're like, nope, I'm going to pause real quick. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be still. And I'm going to pray to my Creator for inner strength that is rooted in love so that I can have the fullness of life. I want you to learn this process so that it's not just a sermon I preach, not just for something for today, but something you can walk out for the rest of your life. All right. So again, if you don't know how to pray, I'll talk you through that as we're praying. All right. And I'm going to have us bow our heads. Now, there is a little bit in the Bible where it talks about bowing before God. So that's one reason that we do it. But really, another reason to do it is it helps us to focus. You know what I mean? Like when you were taught maybe as a kid, bow your head and close your eyes, fold your hands. I think that was one parent one day that said, okay, if I get them to fold their hands, they won't bug their brother or sister. If they bow their head and close their eyes, they'll stay focused. And that's really why we bow our heads and we close our eyes. It's just for focus. So I want to invite you to go ahead and do that right now. Now I want us to start our prayer by just praying to the Creator. Thank Him for creating this world. Thank Him for sustaining this world. and thank Him for being in control. You can pray out loud if you want. You can just pray in your mind if you want. Maybe say this. God, I trust You. And maybe you don't even, maybe right now you said, but I don't. In faith, I want you to say it. I just think there's something, if you can just try to muster up the energy and the courage in your mind to say, God, I trust that You're in control. It can relieve some of that stress in the moment. Say, God, I trust that You've got this. God, I trust You as my Creator. Now let's pray for inner strength. Inner strength that comes through the Holy Spirit unleashing His resources in your life. So just ask God, say, God, give me inner strength. Give me inner strength through Your Spirit. Maybe say, God, empower me through Your resources. And I want you to recognize the resources He has available for you right now. Peace is a resource. Wisdom is a resource. But also, like I said, he's got the resources of finances, of health. He's got the resources for your marriage, for your job right now. So ask Him, just say, God, give me help with blank. My marriage, my health, my finances, my mindset, my worry. Ask Him to provide and to take those things and to do what He needs to do with those things. Pray to be rooted in love. Pray for roots. Pray that your roots of your life would grow deep into the deep love of God. Thank Him that you matter to Him. Thank Him for dying on the cross for you. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His mercy. And I would challenge you right now, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, then to say this prayer. Jesus, I need You. I know that I've made mistakes. And I want Your grace and Your forgiveness. Pray for the fullness of life. Pray for a rich life. Pray for a satisfying life. Pray for a life that is founded in Christ. And for you to have confidence in the midst of your crisis. Jesus, I come before You as my great Creator. God, I thank You for being the One who's created it all and created me. And I trust You in this momentary crisis. Jesus, I pray for inner strength. I pray that You would unleash Your resources on me and on everybody in this room and everybody watching online, everybody in our community, everybody in our nation and around this world, God. Just unleash the resources You have to take care of people's health, to take care of people's life right now, God. God, I know that everyone matters to You. So I'm just gonna root myself in your love, knowing that when I do that, that's when I will find the fullness of life. And I pray that for me, and I pray it for everyone who is here and everyone who is listening. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a safe and healthy week.